Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network. In the background, Miles Davis, Kind of Blue, from the classic album for that same title, which featured him, John Coltrane, Ken Roll Adley, Red Garland, Paul Chambers, and Philly Joe Jones. And tonight, Miles Davis, Kind of Blue, speaks minutely how we feel here on Sports and Death. It's a tribute to Rooney. I'll open with a prayer, as always do. But we have found that the man who coined the phrase, the Sports and Death Nation, the man who opened up, will so eloquently bring me on the straw that stirs the drink. Ladies and gentlemen, as we go to prayer, we ask you that you pray for the family of Rooney. We ask you pray for our sports of the nation. As I tell the world, Mel Smith Jr., a.k.a. Lococo, a.k.a. Rooney, a.k.a. Mel Cosell Smith Jr., has passed away. John Coltrane lives in prayer. Bow your head. Take your hats off. It's time to go to the master. Dear Lord, we come to you, as we always do, in homage and with gratitude. Thank you to us for little things we so largely take for granted. Let your way be our way. And now, dear Lord, we ask you that you come down and touch the family of Mel Smith Jr. and touch his radio family. As we've learned that we've lost a brother and a friend, we ask that you heal those that are suffering and realizing that earth has no sorrow, heaven can heal. And you said it's a point for man once to die and then to judgment. We thank you for the times we shared with him. We thank you for the intellect and the genius that he brought to sports and depth. We thank you for just basking in his friendship and the glow of a young man of great intellect, great warmth and friendship. Our expert in the world of WFF and just an integral part of our family. Our heart goes out to his family as it also grieves. Our heart beats with sorrow. We ask you to bless his family. to the media family, and bless us, his sports family. And we ask you, Lord, to touch the hearts of others who have suffered the loss of a loved one today and will in the future. We cherish his memory. We thank you, the Lord, for having the Mel Smith during our lives. It's you who made us, not ourselves. It's the thing made, question the maker, never. We thank you for Christ who went on the cross, that we may have the right to the tree of life. We ask these blessings, all the blessings, in the name of your darling Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This was the theme that Mel would bring us on with. Welcome to the Sports and Deaf Nation on Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. Then he would turn around and so eloquently and graciously say that, and now the man who stirs the drink, the incomparable Doc Stanley. Ain't nobody like you, Rooney. Ain't nobody. Marvin Gaye, do the national anthem. And then we will talk, dedicate the show to our one and only Mel Cosell, a.k.a. Lou Coco, a.k.a. Rooney Smith Jr., Mr. Gaye.
Now, along with the United States Marine Color Guard to sing the national anthem, famed recording artist Marvin Gaye.
Our champion, Lady A, she was the last of the panel to know. Roy, as you know, had a triple bypass surgery latter part of the year before. He had spent some time recuperating, and he came back. And now just coming back with a special show. Welcome back, Rooney. There has been a situation in the last couple of weeks that Rooney had been hard to get in contact with, and we all was under the mindset, well, you know, Rooney's not feeling too well. He's still trying to recover from the heart attack. Tonight, as of today, let me get Rooney. You call his dad. And I called Mr. Smith. And, hello, Mr. Smith. Called on the house phone because Rooney had his own cell. Hello, Mr. Smith. Hey, Doc Stanley. How's Rooney? Doc? Rooney passed away 2 weeks ago. I said, what? And Rooney had another heart attack. Went to his brain 3 days later. Mel Costello Smith, a.k.a. Little Coco, a.k.a. Rooney, had passed away. We dedicate this show to his memory, the integral part, one of the fibers, the cause of this show. A WWF star in his own right. And nobody said Little Coco the way Harold did. And I called Wings.
Swami, Dr. Swami.
What did you say, Lady A?
He was the Swami, remember? I see something.
Yeah. That's where Hoopster would come in.
I hear something.
I see something.
Yeah.
I hear something right now.
Gang, we are going to all, with you, Lady A, memories and thoughts of Mel Cosell Smith Jr. Love, Lady A. Is that my charming Lady A? Lady A, start us in thoughts and memories. We'll continue the show here, but we're going to open up with thoughts of Mel Cosell Smith Jr. Lady A, please.
What I can remember about Mel is he used to always make me laugh. I mean, he was a funny guy. He used to just say things that were funny. It's just particularly when every time we would talk about a fight, he would be like, I know you guys are going to laugh, but I think this may be the candidate in fight of the year, a candidate for fight of the year. I would be like looking at the phone like, Mel, you say this all the time.
Every fight had the possibility to be the fight of the year.
He used to make me laugh even more because every time I would tell him that you used to try to pawn off that cheesy picture of Harold Weston to me, the black and white picture, he would just laugh. He'd be like, no, you did not just say it. I'm like, yeah, because every time I see Doc, he's trying to pawn off this cheesy black and white picture of Harold Weston on me. I don't want no cheesy black and white picture. I want the real deal. I don't want a black and white picture. I want a color picture. Like, I want a black and white picture, you know? So he used to make me laugh. He used to make me laugh with that.
Melco Snow. And you know, Harold, nobody said Little Coco like you did. Harold, Mel Smith Jr., Little Coco?
Well, you know, me and them had, we went back and forth with each other, you know, about these, definitely these boxing matches that we watched. And I just like the fact that, you know, he's a guy that likes to speak his mind, and he stayed with his feelings about something. And he was just a joy to listen to and have conversation with. And like Lady A said, he makes you laugh, too, you know, while you're having these debates with him. So, I mean, he's a real, really was a fun guy to have. I mean, he's been talking to and enjoying the
Jokes. The Big C, I was hoping Big C would join us tonight. Big C, did you join us? I had to call Big C, and he talked about how Mel was the guy, too. Whenever we had a guest, Mel would be the guy who was the official greeter. We want to welcome you to the Sports in Depth Nation. And, Russo, you were the guy that would get on it right away when you would say, hey, I hear something, I see something. Russo, and it's your turn to talk about our friend, our brother, Mel Cosell Smith Jr.
Yeah, first of all, good evening, everybody. I just want to send our doors out to the Smith family, and our prayers go out with him. But he was a voice of the drink. Let me tell you, he's gonna be well missed, and I missed his funniness, especially you talk about Merriweather. Oh boy, he was something else. He was Aswami, boy, I tell you.
He was.
He avoided us for a couple of weeks when Merriweather won that fight, boy. He didn't want to call in at all. He was in bed. And I told that lady he's going to tear him up.
He was still recuperating.
And I told lady he's going to tear him up, man. He never called in. He was so embarrassed. And then he finally called in, you finally called in. You stuck up like a man. You stuck your chest out, huh?
Yeah, but the funny thing was, remember, he used to say, first of all, Adrian Broner has to stop fighting these cab drivers. Fighting these cab drivers.
Ladies and gentlemen, sports to death, we're laughing and finally, and that's what Dr. King says, it's not the longevity of one's life, but the quality of one's life. And we're sitting here and reminiscing and remembering finally a dear friend. Moments before we came on the air, we found that we had lost Mel Cosell Smith Jr., Lady A, the Hoopster, Harold, Double Barrel Harold Weston Jr., Jumpshot Jonesy should be here. Jonesy didn't know him as well as the rest of us did. Cincinnati Sea Wings. Hope and Dusty would be here with us. And we're just talking about a man who had...
That was your man. You got to call in, Dusty. That was your man. You got to call in.
Yeah, we'll get it. But Wings, you know, on the real side, you know, you and him camouflaged it. But y'all were WWF tag team partners, baby. You know, I saw you in the black tights a couple of nights.
Oh, man, I laugh here, but my heart is bleeding. It's hard to put it into words that, you know, the void that's going to be here on the Sports in Depth panel. And what I best remember him, besides our long conversations off the air about, you know, the World Wrestling Entertainment, or formerly the WWF, and we had a lot in common because we went to the same wrestling school with the great Johnny Rods. And I remember when he said he started in the wrestling business and that a wrestler hit him, smacked him so hard. He said, wait a second, I thought this was supposed to be an exhibition. And he said, wow, that hurt. That really hurt. And he was shocked that, you know, that the other wrestler has smacked him so hard. So I always think of that. And he's going to be dearly missed. He's really going to be dearly missed, man. It just doesn't seem real. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we had Marcus, a great sports writer, great friend of the show, great friend of ours, who also passed away of a heart attack about 3 weeks ago. And it's just continue on and on, and our condolences go out to his family. I mean, it's very sad. Very sad. Doesn't seem real.
No.
Doesn't seem real.
The doc say sad and touching. Sad and touching, man. Rough.
This is another
yes, I did
swallow.
Okay.
It's another hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Just doesn't seem real.
You could do.
Hey, you know, the thing about Rooney too was I remember we used to talk, and he was hard on Marty Schottenheimer, and
he
wasn't happy.
And the Jets. Oh, he was on everybody. You kidding me?
But the offense played the last year. We bought said, you know, Rooney, whoever thought you which Marty Schottenheimer was the Doc, if he only had some imagination,
okay,
Doc. You know what I mean?
His favorite Giants player was JPP.
JPP. That was his man,
yep.
JPP.
That was his man.
I remember him. Me and him covering the. In fact, I'm looking at the autograph and the Touch and God Sports and Entertainment Artifacts Museum. Six big men, a fight at the Madison Square Garden, which featured Tim Witherspoon, former heavyweight champion, Evander Holyfield, former heavyweight champion, Lennox Lewis, former heavyweight champion, Ray Mercer, former heavyweight champion, Bobby Tess, former light heavyweight champion, and they also had Jorge Gonzalez on the card. And we were sitting right next to Lennox's mother, and we so often mentioned on this show how we had to comfort her, especially Rooney, assured her that Lennox was going to be all right, and that Lennox, more importantly, had won the fight. And that was the fight that really showed me how Lennox Lewis could also fight. That was the fight where Lennox Lewis really threw down. And Rooney so often talked about how Emmanuel, how late Finn Emmanuel Stewart talked about how he wished he could get Lennox to fight in the ring in a fight the way he would dominate in the gym. And so often Rooney talked about that. I'm trying to catch up with Dusty, if he can. Maybe he's still in studio. But we have a jump shot. Josie, you didn't know Mel that well. When you came on, he was still recuperating from the triple bypass heart attack he had. He had been integral part two of our time at SJR Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, the heartbeat of New York City. He would come up and do that three-hour show with me. In fact, I have a tape of the show, How I Got It, and we talk so much about the obtaining of a lot of the artifacts that I have here, as well as some of our past experiences. And we'll be going back and forth with memories of Rooney. I just had a host of things to talk about, but now we're just mainly focusing on him. One of the things that, as I'm looking through the papers today, there's so much talk about Oprah Winfrey buying the Clippers, and it was a comical part cartoon in the New York Daily News where they had a horde of New York Knicks fans saying, hey, buy the Knicks,
yeah,
jump shot, and Hoopster, some big games today, Game 7 winners, Clippers. I always said that the winner of that Clipper-Golden State series would be prepared to move into the next round. Also doing some reading about it's possibly – we're going to start with you, Hoopster. Possibly the end of the coaching career for Mark Jackson at Golden State. And I heard he wasn't getting along with Jerry West and had basically banned Jerry and a horde of other people from practices. What are you hearing on that jump shot? And Hoopster, you go over first. What's the story you're hearing on? Any truth to that?
Yeah, that was truth to that. I guess they tried to tell him what to do, and I guess he didn't like it. So I guess he got upset. He told everybody he got to get out. This is my practice. I'm running. And also, I got some good news for the Laker fans. I know Mike D'Antoni have resigned. I know the Laker Nation's out there happy. They can finally get a real coach. So,
Hoops.
Yes.
Hoops.
Yeah.
How come you're not saying nothing about Brooklyn?
I was about to say that. Congratulations to them. Tough game. Tough game. Also, out to the Rangers, too. I know I want to put in that for you. I know you're a big Ranger fan.
Yeah.
You're a big Ranger fan. Are you still a Ranger fan, Lady A?
Yeah, tough game tonight. Tough game tonight. It's all right.
Okay.
It's all right. Still series tie. 1-1. Have a little faith.
There's a Brooklyn team.
No, they won.
Hey, listen, you got to believe. Oh, no, but that's the Mets. I'm sorry. That's not the New York Rangers.
You get sued for that now.
Well, you know, Jason Kidd talked so much about the jump shot. We'll bring you in here. Jason Kidd talked so much about the officiating not being up to snuff. And as it turned out, they overcame that, got out of the first round. And I think a lot has to be said for Jason as a coach. He's really done a tremendous job in lieu of the fact that his team hasn't been healthy. In fact, at a moment's notice, I mean, we're talking about Garnett.
Oh, Garnett was
Pierce
with that defense, with that block, with that left-hand block shot. And also, Doc, you know, that was Jason Kidd's first rookie win. The last coach that did that was Avery Johnson.
Wow. We play Avery Johnson, but the Mavericks got the best beat up there. Jonesy. You're calling in here. The next round is going on. Yeah, and I want to say something here to both the basketball people and people in general. People kept talking about and there's a whole lot of stories here too. And I said this last week, and it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said something that was so profound too. And he talked about two things. The owner of the Clippers. The tape, but he said the other part of that is like, wait a minute, you know, this taping was something that was an infringement on his rights. This is something
that
was illegal, you know, and I've redundantly talked and as mentioned other columns too, that this was a situation that this was not right. And people are talking about it, and I'm getting all these comments, and everybody is talking about, and it's something Looney would love, everybody's talking about this racist. There were a couple of stories that came out that were very apropos. And one said, hey, wait a minute. You know, way back in 2004, Commissioner Stern should have jumped on some situations about this man, because this is not a situation that was unbeknowing to the rest of the league owners. This is something that was not unbeknowing to the people in basketball. And as Kareem was saying, too, And another article talked about the fact that, well, on really what legality are you standing on to strip this man of his team? I mean, what about if he doesn't?
Doc, the flip side to that is, just to add to what you're saying, and I'll let the other guys chime in, is this.
Yeah.
Okay, there's no, by no means is anybody saying that his racist comments were said, and they should have been tolerated. Nobody's saying that. Everybody's saying his comments were inappropriate. However, like you just mentioned earlier, you know, this lady, whoever she is, I don't know if it's his girlfriend, his fiance,
mistress,
whatever.
Mistress.
She taped this in a private setting, and you know, it's illegal for you to tape a conversation like that. That's number one. Number two is it also opens the door for what else is going to be taped. If you're in a locker room and some guy just happens to be taping what you're talking about in private, now what? You can't have a private conversation with guys in a locker room because people are going to blow up your whole conversation and put it on YouTube or whatever? I mean, it just opens up a lot of legality and a lot of, like, rights infringement on people's rights also that I think needs to be brought up to the forefront also. Is this going to be a precedent? Set a precedent? In other words, is this going to set a precedent for a lot of other things?
Well,
you know,
let's go with the first thing here. Just going back, because we're going to run with this now. The article in the Daily News, what was April 30th, Mitch Lawrence, and he said, Stern justice is late. Adam Silver definitely has what it takes to be the commissioner of the NBA. Silver needed to be bold and decisive, and he was unquestionably bold in sending the lout, Dallas Sterling, to the showers with a lifetime ban on Tuesday. This was a great day for the Clippers players and Doc Rivers and everyone else who rightfully took offense to Sterling's racist comments. It'll be even a better day when the Clippers get a new owner, whether it's Magic Johnson or someone else. But let's also remember something about this historic day. If there was no audio tape, of Sterling spewing cruel things about Johnson and other African-Americans, he very well may have been sitting in his usual courtside seat Tuesday night for the Clippers playoff game against Golden State. So let's not make this a big celebration over what Silver did in the first major move since taking over for Commissioner David Stern only a few months ago. And he said, if not, if it's acting on a tip, then the NBA investigators' arm head out to L.A. to get the goods on Sterling. To the contrary, the leak only was reacting to a powder keg of evidence about its most famous bigot owner that had been brought to the attention of the entire country. Knowing what else everyone knew, how could the NBA not finally put an end to Sterling's run of the worst owner in history? Basically, he was saying, hey, This is something that should have been handled way before, and we go to Flip Barney, who says NBA should have ejected this flagrant so-and-so back in 2004. And then I'm looking at the comments that are made, and listen to some of the comments we saw with our president. When ignorant folks want to advertise their arrogance, you don't really have to do anything. You just let them talk. That's what happened here. Michael Jordan. Yeah. I'm obviously disgusted that a fellow team owner could hold such sickening and offensive views. Charles Barkley. If someone wants to be racist, fine. That's their thing. When you're in a position of power and you can take jobs and economic opportunities from people, that's what crosses the line. Doc Rivers is the coach. We're going to go home now. Usually that would mean we're going to a safe haven. I don't even know if that's true. Now, Doc's comment, my thing is, so what are you telling me? You're telling me that if I'm coming down the floor and I say hoops to open, I'm going to think about the owner and not pass hoops to the ball? But what are you telling me? I got a jump shot at the top of the key and I'm not going to take it? I mean, the reality of the situation is playing basketball should have been the easiest thing for them to do. And that grandstand movement, really, of taking their uniform shirts and putting them on backwards, wow, you're still L.A. Clippers. I mean, everybody knows who you are. I mean, they didn't think you were the Detroit Pistons.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
what are you telling me? They thought you were the Detroit Pistons? Oh, wait a minute. Are those the San Antonio Spurs? They know who you are.
Right,
I mean, a lot
right.
of that stuff was perpetrated before this, as the great Miami Borker says, Black Book Nation, British Brother. I mean, the thing here is that all these statements, they knew about this guy. And this is what Miami Borker, we had a piece in the New York Beacon, where I thank the great Don Thomas, entertainment editor, and where we said, hey, they knew about this. And the owners, I mean, what has this changed? Where are the jobs for the black sportscasters? Where are the jobs in management for African Americans? They haven't changed nothing. And the bottom line is, you know, this guy is part of that society. And they're trying to ask, like, what was the commission supposed to do? Nothing? Come on.
Right.
He did what
he
had to do. I mean, he only did what had to be done. They acted like he made a tremendous change.
Doc, you know, you have to look at it from this perspective, is that he did what the other guy didn't. You know, he basically did what the other guy, if he knew that was what was going on, you know, the other side of it, too, is that nobody's talking about is, Doc, and this is just to inject something in a conversation, is, okay, if he didn't do something, this other guy did it now, okay? But what exactly was he doing that was what was he doing financially to the team or to impose his racist views on the team? That to me hasn't come to light. I mean, he's having his own personal ideology and all that. You know, for all intents and purposes, you know, he really wasn't breaking the law. Was it wrong? Yeah, but I'm just saying, constitutionally, he has his right to believe whatever stupid nonsense he wants to believe, you know, but what was he doing to the team? I mean, he was still paying Doc Rivers $7 million. You know, you get what I'm getting at? I mean, I'm not advocating his behavior by no means, but what I'm saying is what was he really doing to the team? So to me, it's like, is a lawyer going to use that and pick apart the outcome, the final outcome of the NBA? What they actually are going to say is that his views they weren't the views of the whole entire NBA, and he was tarnishing, you know, the views of the NBA by having these ideas. But at the same time, was that what was really being carried out? I don't know exactly if I could make a judgment on that. Did he not pay, you know, Doc Rivers for whatever because he was black? Did he not do anything that was proper to the operational integrity of the team? You know what I'm saying? So I don't know yet. That still has to all come out. That's what I'm saying.
Let's take a look at what Jabbar says here. Kareem Jabbar fully supports Adam Silver's lifetime ban of Clippers owner Donald Sterling for making racist comments to his girlfriend. But he says he also wants whoever responsible for taping the comments sent to prison. Writing a strongly worded editorial page for Time magazine, Jabbar spoke out against the methods used to obtain evidence. Shouldn't we be equally angered by the fact that his private, intimate conversation was taped and then leaked to the media?
Right.
Didn't we just call to task the NSA for intruding into American citizens' privacy in such an un-American way?
Correct.
I mean, that's the thing. That we're looking at that, and now what I've heard right there. When she went to court the other day, he was there. And what I'm saying is all this parade about. I mean, this is according to back articles. This is nothing new about this guy. Now I'm hearing there's some things of Donald Sterling has donated millions of dollars to a wide range of charities over the years. Here's a look at how some of those organizations have responded in the wake of his racist comments.
They probably pulled sponsorship away.
Well, no, they didn't.
All that money too.
But you look at the NAACP in L.A., California. It was common knowledge that they took money, or they're making allegations that they took money from Sterling, and that's the reason why he was giving the award, the first award, and he was going to receive the second Lifetime Achievement Award. So it must be some credence to that because the head of that chapter resigned. Why would you step down?
Here it is. Los Angeles NCAA returned $45,000. President Leon Jenkins, who resigned Thursday, said the group will return the money that he was sent to them, and they had forgot about the aspect. They're not going to recognize it on May 15th. UCLA, he sent $3 million. School returned $425 million of the initial payment. It says it will not accept the rest of the pledged $3 million donation. We've got United Negro College Fund. He's going to send them $55,000?
How long has he been an owner, this guy, Sterling? How long has he been an owner?
1981.
Okay, so you're trying to tell me that you're trying to tell me that in all those years, no one knew this stock? Are you serious?
Lady, that's exactly what I'm saying. You know, the rest of the league is sitting around here because they even said they made a comment to Doc, you know, was it different now coming back as a coach as opposed to, and this is what I've long said, this is nothing new. They knew how this guy was. I mean, they've been for 30 years. This guy has made those comments. This guy has displayed his personality. And everybody is, like I'm saying, what was this whole move about the Clippers with the uniform? Kobe Bryant said he couldn't play for him. It was a big deal, Kobe. You're playing for the Lakers.
Right.
I mean,
what
are we going to do? You're under contract.
Right, Doc, when
you were playing for him.
When you not to interject, it's just something real quick. Sure. When you mentioned what Kareem stated, he also pointed to the – he also questioned that why was the racially charged comments attributed to Sterling, why were they drawing so much ridicule in his well-documented history of racist acts? And he stated, that being Kareem, I do quote, he was discriminating against black and Hispanic families for years, preventing them from getting housing. It was public record. We did nothing. Suddenly, he doesn't want his girlfriend posing with Magic Johnson on Instagram, and we bring out the torches and rope. Shouldn't we have called for his resignation back then?
Then he goes on
to contribute, also point towards V. Stiano, whatever her name is. Man, what a winding road she led him down to get all of that out. She was like a sexy nanny playing pin the fried chicken on a Sambo. She blindfolded him and spun him around until he was just blathering all sorts of incoherent racist sound bites that had the news media peeing themselves with glee. End of quote.
Doc, you know, another relevant point to this whole thing is, and you know, you've been covering sports for years. The other relevant thing is, who in the hell vetted this guy to be an owner? Who vetted this guy as an owner? Because my thing is if he had to go through a vetting process to actually become an owner, correct? So who vetted him? If you vetted this guy, then you're saying this guy was, you know, going to be a sound, you know, a sound representation of the league. So why did you even pick him up if you knew that he had this, you know, that would be something to really look into. Because then who vetted this guy?
So are you questioning the way who vetted him, or are you questioning the vetting process? Because I think he was just vetted based on the amount of money that he had to purchase the team.
Yeah, but also you have to do a background check. You would still have to do an investigation, do a background check on somebody and see if they're viable candidates. You just don't pick them up just because of the money.
So that may be a problem there with the NBA.
Correct.
The bottom line is, Jumpshot Jones, you want to join in on this? I mean, the bottom line is the guy is part of another. I remember 1997. Never forget it. Guy asked Oscar Robertson, you know, what his feeling was on this high populace African Americans not being cognizant of the forerunners and have any sense of history of the players before them. And I'm thinking he's directly trying to say these black guys are not aware of the people that come before them. And Oscar said, well, hold on. And I said this before the show. I said, whoa, that's not just basketball players. It's baseball, football, it's doctors, it's lawyers, it's across the board. It's in our society today, nobody's cognizant of the people that come before them. And they tell the great story of the big black tie affair and a female reporter turned to her colleague and said, who's the old white-haired guy across the room? The old white-haired guy across the room was Joseph DiMaggio. How could you be in New York City and not know who Joe DiMaggio was? But So that just kind of validates what Oscar said. Jeff Jones, your thoughts on this?
Do we have
Jump shot?
No,
Jump shot.
I don't hear him.
Oh, I thought Jim Show was with us. Okay.
Kareem
ended off his Kareem ended his opinion piece with? He stated, let's use this Tawdry incident to remind ourselves of the old saying, eternal vigilance is the price of freedom. Instead of being content to punish Sterling and go back to sleep, we need to be inspired to vigilantly seek out, expose, and eliminate racism at its first signs. End of quote.
And then he said that. I'm sorry. See, was also say then after he said that, he took a toke of his blunt and was like, okay, I think I wrote something nice.
Who is it, Jabbar?
Jabbar.
What did you say about Jabbar?
You didn't know that he uses medical marijuana?
Well, listen, somebody was talking about, in fact, you know, I'm glad you said that. Well, I mean, listen, let me tell you, Jabbar is an everyday sign of racism. How could a guy who played 20 years, how could a guy who's won the most MVPs, how could a guy who's won 5 championships, how could a guy who's the all-time leading scorer, how could a guy who has a shot that was undefensible not been given a coaching job in the NBA? I mean, Jabbar is taking a stand here, but Jabbar is a positive sign of racism. They're talking about Steve Kerr coming in to coach. I remember when Jabbar was in Milwaukee.
Doc,
I remember talking to George. Hold on, though.
He might not even take that job. He's going to wait for other jobs to open up, that Golden State job. He might be waiting.
And why not give it to Mark Jackson? Where's Mark Jackson?
We're not talking about Jabbar taking a job now. We're talking about Jabbar should have already had a job. That's what we're talking about.
Okay,
that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a guy who is the greatest offensive. The game is on the line. Jabbar's going to miss the shot or make it. You're not going to block. I mean, they had a timeout, Boston Celtics, against the Lakers. They're in the huddle. The Celtics say, okay, well, if they get it to Jabbar, you know, we can look at the block the shot. And Blackbird said, ho. You don't block the sky hood. He makes it or he misses it. Here's a guy in Milwaukee. Jabbar wanted to come to New York, and he said that. It wasn't New York or L.A. I said, I want to go to New York. New York did not want him.
Now,
that's what L.A. came
in
the picture.
Bring up a point about coaching, you look at D'Antoni, and I was just telling Hoops this today. How is it that a guy like him, I'm not knocking him. I don't think he's a great coach. He's a decent coach. But look at his formula. Every place, every team that he goes to, he gets paid, they lose, he gets fired, or he resigns, and he goes to another team and gets hired, gets paid, loses, gets fired, and he'll probably get another job. And like you said, with these guys like Kareem, you look at guys like
how about Clyde Frazier?
Patrick Ewing.
How about Clyde Frazier?
Absolutely.
You know,
He played with Phil Jackson.
I remember. I remember being in the locker room one time, and I remember it was a game against the Lakers, and Jerry West, the great Jerry, went down the middle. Nobody touched him. The referee looked around and called the foul on Phil Jackson. And Clyde said, "You know, I always tell Phil to be careful." And I remember when the coaching job for the Nets was open, and the great Marion B. Boykin, Black Bodation, greatest boxing mind of our time, greatest boxer just woke up, and Boykin did a story in the New York Beacon. It might have been the City Sun. It might have been edited in. And it said, you know, they were talking about Nets needed a coach. He said, "Why not Clyde?" And I gave the story to Clyde. And Clyde said, "Hey, Doc, hey, Mel, oh, Stan, I was coming. Tell Matt," I said, "thank you." And I remember this guy, little short, white sports writer, looked at the story and said, "Oh, Clyde doesn't want to coach, do you, Clyde?" Clyde said, "Yeah." I mean, I'm thinking, who wouldn't want a job that you're going to make four times of what you make? I remember telling Ernie Grunfeld, and Grunfeld was like, "Well, isn't he a sportscaster? He doesn't want to coach." I'm like, "Weren't you a sportscaster? Now you're the general manager." I look at the Knicks. They've done nothing. They've done nothing for their African-American stars. Okay, Dave DeBuscher. Dave DeBuscher came from Detroit. He became GM. Ernie Grunfeld came from Milwaukee. He became GM. Where are the opportunities for Walt Clyde Frazier? Could there be a better GM?
What about
GM?
Earl LePearl?
Earl LePearl. Hey, Mel's man, my favorite player, Earl LePearl, as he would say. You know what I mean? Hey, Earl LePearl. Dick Barnett.
Patrick Ewing.
Okay.
But you know what the irony of this is, Doc? You know what the irony of this is that him and Phil Jackson play together, but yet all Clyde is doing is announcing, and he and Phil Jackson is the head of operations?
President! President!
President!
President!
$60 million. I don't think he's going to play out his contract, though. Nobody really does under under good times.
Well, wasn't there something recently about Herb Williams and him saying something to her that he can't fire Herb Williams?
Exactly.
They want Herb to be part of his coaching. Gang, let's take a quick break. Let's come back in a minute. We're going to play the song that Mel Smith Jr., Rooney, used to bring us on. Take a quick break, come back, and do some more sports that we remember. Mel, Cosell, Smith Jr., Lou Coco. We're going to talk some more basketball, some more boxing, and talk about our absence, our love and admiration for the one and only Little Coco, a.k.a. Rooney, Mel. Cosell, Smith Jr., Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Guardian Network. Tribute to Rooney. Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. Tribute to Rooney, as we remember our beloved Mel Cosell, Smith Jr., a.k.a. Little Coco, a.k.a. Rooney. It's birthday time yesterday, the 3rd, the birthday of Walker Smith Jr., Sugar Ray Robinson. And on the 6th, the greatest baseball player that ever lived, ever will live, the one and only Willie Mays. Also, Jerry Cooney has a birthday on the 6th. On the 11th, the Golden Boy, Mark Breland. On the 13th, the Wonder Man, Stevie Wonder. And the one and only
the longest reigning heavyweight champion in the history of boxing, the Brown Barber, Joseph Louis Barrows. Happy birthday, Mark, our dear friend. And with that, it's time for us to head on back in, and I have a little interesting piece here to mention. So without further ado, let's come on back into Sports and Death. Dr. Stanley on the Trusting God Radio Network. Stevie said, happy birthday, everybody. Come on, Stevie. Here we go. Come on, Stevie. About admitting she loves pot. I probably smoke weed twice a week and have no problem sleep 10 hours. The sexy 20-year-old singer tells GQ. She's also the anti-gold digger. She said, if a man has a chef and a maid, then I can't practice my domestic powers, she says. Like that. He wants to do a little cooking and cleaning. Dr. Stanley, she wanted to Blog Talk Radio tribute to Melko Smith, Jr., Rudy, and, you know, and talking, you know, panel, it's been really therapeutic talking to everybody. Had a big fight. Led Jump Shot Jones, did he come in studio yet? Jump Shot, are you here yet with us?
I'm with you. I'm with you, Doc.
Okay, Jump Shot. Okay, well, all right. So we've been talking about this basketball situation. Spurs won today a seventh game. Kansas City won a seventh game. Pacers won a seventh game. What's happening now? What happened today? My feeling, Jump Shot, is that I thought the winner of the Clippers and Golden State are going to be ready and move on for the next round. I just thought that series is going to bring out the best of both teams, even more emotionally and psychologically for the Clippers. So the Spurs just blew out the Mavericks today, and then the Nets have won big. I think it was a big hurdle psychologically for the Nets. Okay, so what's happening, Jonesy? How do you see this going on? And who moves on, and who's going to be stopped?
So I think it's still going to, in the East, you know, we're still looking at probably the Pacers and the Heat in the conference finals, and the Spurs and the Thunder. All these games have been really entertaining, especially in the first round. But I think that when the dust settles, you know, the cream is going to rise to the top, and you will be looking at the Spurs and the Thunder in the Western Conference, and the Pacers and the Heat in the Eastern Conference. This whole first round has really been, exciting and probably profitable for this league. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why this commissioner took swift and immediate action against the Clippers owner, as well as being influenced with the stance that the players were going to take in terms of forcing action or specific action against this owner. I don't think that in this country, knowing the history of this country as it pertains to people of color, you know, we can ever take light of racist views and racist remarks. Granted, in this case, they may have been obtained in an illegal manner, because it's not legal you know, what was done. But once exposed, a stance has to be taken. We can't, you know, we can't lay back and say, well, it should have been done 30 years ago. Listen, there's a lot of things in life that should have been done that weren't. When you look at this man, and when he turned 21, when December 1st, 1955 came around, this guy turned 21 years old, the Clippers owner. That's when Rosa Parks said, enough is enough already, December 1st, 1955. So sometimes in life, things happen, and they become a defining moment. And hopefully this will become a defining moment, not only for this guy, but for both sides, the people who want to oppress and those who have been continually oppressed, those who have been denied access and opportunity. It is time for a change, as Sam Cooke has sung and said over the, in his famous song. So, you know, moving on, we all got to get better. NCAA, NBA, Players Association, fans, American society, we all got to get better.
What song? Now, what song are we talking about again, Jonesy?
Time for a Change, Sam Cooke.
Oh, a change is going to come?
A change is going to come. I'm sorry.
Yep. Yeah, that was the song. That was amazing. You know, that was Sam Cooke. What made Sam Cooke so powerful and so feared was Cooke had his own money, and Cooke was going to finance a lot of black organizations, King and a whole lot of other people. It is without question that Sam Cooke was killed. I remember at the – it's amazing the things that happened at press conference, at a boxing press conference. I was sitting at the legendary Victor's Cafe with a host of legend, Howie Evans, Art Rush Jr., and I was sitting there, and a white guy came in, and he knew Art, and he sat down, and inadvertently they got around to the conversation of Sam Cooke being shot and killed in that hotel place. And the guy said, that's bullshit. He said, why would Sam Cooke be in a sleazy hotel like that? I mean, Sam Cooke was the most famous black singer in the world, one of the great entertainers. He had no problem with good ladies, if that was the case. He said, why would he be there? And the sister, in a documentary, I said, they knew full well when they saw Sam's body, there was no way. I mean, what was he doing out of his pants? You know, what was he doing out of his pants? And Change Is Gonna Come came out, and it happened to be his last big hit. We're talking about a horde of things, and you're talking about changes, and I'm just saying here, there's a story where they talk about Top Gear host Jeremy Clarkson admitted Thursday, this is in the paper from May 2nd, okay, that he used a racist language during an unaired clip from his show. Now, this was a thing where, you know, he said, he said the N-word, you know, in a rhyme. You know, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catchy. I mean, this whole thing, okay, you got Sterling. Somebody made a tremendous point. The $2.5 million, that's like $65 for him. $2.5 million, that's like $65 for this guy. You're not hurting him. And you're not changing anything. Where are the changes coming from? I mean, okay, is Howard Weston going to go to the Boxing Hall of Fame? I mean, you're looking at, I mean, if the NBA owners were serious, why didn't you give us a black commissioner? Huh? If you're serious, Oscar Robertson can't be commissioner of the NBA? Why couldn't you find a black commissioner? The Yankees, okay, 27-time world champ, they don't have a black coach on the staff. On the staff.
Nope.
They fired Chris Chambliss as the batting coach, and they had just won a World Series. Had just won the World Series, and they fired Chris Chambliss. Yeah.
I agree with you. And that's why, listen, that's why we're having – that's why these dialogues and discussions need to be had, because we're in 2014, and you can look in your own personal family line, and there's mm-hmm. still first that have to be achieved. Do you understand in your own because people have been locked out, not allowed to have opportunity for so long that. Opportunities to you can be the first person in your own family to start a business, to graduate from college, to get a master's degree, to become a sportscaster in 2014. When you do your, when we trace back our own family line, that's how far back it goes.
I, what I'm saying here is two things here, Georgie.
You understand? You understand what I'm saying?
I agree. You're right. And it's 2014. I'm going to say two things here. First of all this is talk. And then we got to blame us. This is 2014. We don't have a black daily newspaper this year. I mean, we do have the Afro Times, but it's really not. They have some great articles. And just, Harold, you're a guy that's fought the best. You're one of the best. Okay, let's talk about boxing. I mean, how does a guy like you, Harold, and of course you're my man, okay, how does a guy like you, who's had a resume at Madison Square Garden, and I saw a guy who went for top rank. I remember Marion Borkin said when they made the guy the matchmaker, he said he couldn't match his socks. Okay, what's your take on this, Harold? And can we talk about some of the racist problems you had in this world of boxing?
Well, you know, it's, you know, I was reading an article too about the writers, the black writers in sports today, how very few are there is, you know, in sports writing. But at the same time, I learned the hard way. And the fact is, my dad has always told me, don't go around and always bragging about something, or don't go around and worry about it. Just do your job, and when you do it, they'll take notice. You know, sometimes people don't people don't really commend you on your good job that you do or what you're accomplishing. You just gotta take it with a grain of salt and just be the best you are, because people gonna know you're the best because you're getting things done and taken care of in the right way. Yeah, I had my run-ins because, I mean, in the era where I was born, you know, that's what was happening. You know, race was there. I mean, you know, you was a black man and you don't supposed to do this and you don't supposed to do that. But I never listened to the rules. They told us we were stupid, so I couldn't read, so I didn't know what the rules were. They didn't think I couldn't read, but, you know, you read the rules. And so when you read the rule book, you know what the rules are. You just play by the rules, and then what you do, you beat them at their own rules, because they're not as good as they say they are with their own rules. They'll write rules down, but they don't even abide by their own rules. So I find that, you know, like the Boxing Hall of Fame and all these other organizations, they're all rigged. They're all corrupt, every one of them. You know, they put who they want to put in there. They vote who they want to be in there. My daddy told me one time, and he was so right, he said, they put who they want in the White House. The people don't have no rights to this. And I told him, no, Dad, I argued with him. And I said, Dad, you got to vote, because he never voted. I said, you got to vote. Do you know why? My dad was right. He was right. He said they put it, because when they put Bush back in the White House, like they did, when we had that election against Gore, all right? Gore won by the votes of the people, but who put him in the White House? So my point is very clear, to the point that you take it as a grain of salt as I live in life, and I just know the race here in this country and around the world is definitely alive. You just got to understand who you're dealing with and who's on your side and who's not on your side, and just go with the flow, because if you keep sitting around, we got to fight it, but it's always going to be hitting underneath the covers, no matter who it is. You know what I'm saying? And even with this gentleman who owns the Clippers. I mean, Doc, it's a two-sided on this situation. Now people who want to express their feelings, they say something in private, and somebody record it, that you lose your business, you lose your job, you lose something else, because if somebody recorded your statement, how you felt about something, and then they bring it to the people or to your boss, and they fire you for it, or you lose your business, or that. Now, you know, it's a catchy situation with that. Everybody's jumping up and down, but hey, this man is still, there is that situation in our Constitution, freedom of speech. Now, hey, you know, he got a little case, too. Now, we all know that he's a racist, and we've known him for a while. But now all of a sudden it's a big thing. You know, he might win this case in the court of law now. So you know, I don't care how everybody does. I don't like him. I never liked a person like him. But hey, you know, we got laws here in this world too. And I think that if that was the case, that we'd be following the rule. All the bad things people said about me, shoot, they should be fired in a lot of places. But nobody cares. And you just go, you know, as we move along in this world, we just gotta understand that we're gonna have it. It's gonna happen. It's gonna be around. And the people that is the racist should be put out of anything. But when you hit what you say in your backyard or in your house, I mean we got a problem with that one too. Got a big problem.
It's no question now, and we're talking about Big Brother. We're gonna salute the Brooklyn Nets. As you know, they had that young man, the 13-year-old who was shot in his eye by a stray bullet in Brooklyn. Well, he attended the Nets game, Gamma Darrell, and the Nets brought him and his family, and we want to salute them, showing signs of a champion that they would win that first round. And just want to take a hats off to them. The great line, as often as things change, they remain the same. We're going to get back to this as it is a tremendous going story. Like I said, it's just the guy is I've said about this too. The owners know about this guy, and they're acting like they didn't know about him. And what they're doing by doing this, they're trying to defer and take the heat away from them. I mean, all these guys, and the thing here is, where Dusty Baker talked about that years ago. My good friend Dusty Baker talked about it. He said, you know, they talk about the lack of black managers. Somebody write this story. Nobody does nothing because guys hire their own friends. Okay? See, but in America, if I get an organization, I say, okay, Jump Shot and Hoops are going to be my basketball directors. I want Wings to handle the football. How's going to go about? Now that's nepotism. Now I'm a racist because I'm hiring my own kind. You know, everybody hires, even the Bible says, you know what I mean? Everybody takes your own kind, but if I do it, you know, all of a sudden I'm being a racist. And the situation here with this guy and the big thing, I'm saying everybody's doing all this talking, it hasn't changed anything. It's not going to change anything. And the bottom line is this guy, I looked at a picture of all the NBA owners who made a quote about this guy. There's one black face. Of all the NBA, there's one black face, and it happens to be Michael Jeffrey Jordan. There's no ownership, okay? We don't own the football teams, the basketball teams, the baseball teams, okay? In New York City, this is the media capital of the world. The number one, we don't have a daily black newspaper in New York City. And I found out something the other day that I was a Jackie Robinson of African-American boxing writers being inducted into the Baseball Boxing Writers of America. The story came out, I was reading that. And what we want to do too, gang, because we're going to get a lot of time. Back then, he's for the Black Flag Radio on the Trust and Guard Red Network.
Hey, Doc, can I ask
we
you a
remember.
Question?
Go ahead, Russo.
Hey, Doc,
yeah,
will
you just, I want to ask you a comment about Mad Dog Russo, what he said. I was talking about that.
It's just amazing. And these are stories that validate that racism ain't going nowhere. It ain't going nowhere. Russo, here's a guy. Here's a guy I remember. It was Mel. Adios, Mio. Mio Dios in Portuguese. Mel called me. Because he said, we did a show, you know, calling the doctor. But he called. He said, Doc, I can't believe this. He says, Mad Dog is giving this guy a hard time because the guy feels that Willie Mays is the best ever. I'm playing baseball. And Mad Dog is saying it's Joe DiMaggio. I said, what? And I remember seeing Mad Dog in the press room because Mad Dog is a devout San Francisco Giants fan. And the Pope, I used to call him the fat man in the faggot. Okay, Francesca told him, hey, Dog, you're wrong. No, because Mad Dog made the comment that Jackie Robinson only got in the Hall of Fame because he was the first black player. And Francesca said, no, you're wrong, Dog. And I saw him in the press room. And when I walked into him, I see him, I said, how many second baseman, a lifetime 300 hitters. And he said, not to me, I said, but Jackie is. He said, yeah. I said, you know, then he made a comment. I said, well, you know, he said, you ever see Jackie play? I said, well, my dad took me out of MS3. I said, I must have been 4 or 5 years old. So he says, well, you're only 4 or 5. I said, well, I saw him play. I said, you never saw Joe DiMaggio play.
You never saw Joe DiMaggio play, and you're a devout San Francisco Giants fan. So how do you have Joe DiMaggio being better than Willie Mays? You never saw DiMaggio play? I don't care. I was eight months old. I saw Jackie Robinson play. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, you're racist. I'm not racist. I said, you are. I said, yeah, that's racist. I said, you know what? I said, I've forgotten more than you know. Okay? How do you pick, how do you think somebody's out of line? Out of line putting Willie Mays in a conversation as the best all-around player? Willie Mays ain't the best all-around player. He's the best all-around player ever.
True.
How do you jump on somebody who interjects Willie Mays in a conversation and you are a devout San Francisco Giants fan and you're picking, basically what I'm saying is, you're picking the white guy you never saw over the black guy you did see. And you're telling me not being racist.
They are when they had their show, what is it, Mike Francesa and Chris Russo years ago.
Mike and the Mad Dog.
Mm-hmm. Mike and the Mad Dog. They got on, they couldn't understand Hank Aaron and why he was still, in their words, bitter over treatment that he received during his playing careers. And they made light of it. They were, their position was on their show, well, Hank, you need to get over it. You know, that happened 100 years ago. What's the big deal?
You need to get over death threats. Right, Jonesy?
They can't. They've never walked in those shoes.
True.
They never understand what this man went through, what he played through to hit a baseball when he pursued one of the revered records in baseball because it was Babe Ruth who held it. They didn't walk in those shoes.
You can't tell a man of Hank Aaron's stature
what he's gone through just to hit a baseball to get over it.
Yeah, Jonesy, he had to get a bodyguard. Had to get a bodyguard. And me, I remember interviewing Hank in Philadelphia. Once again, all by the grace of God. All great and wonderful things by grace. But ladies and gentlemen, it's Sports and the Blog Talk Radio, Sports and Garden Network, tribute to Rooney. We've lost our beloved Mel Smith Jr. We will miss him forever. And we're dedicating this show to him. And I remember telling Hank, you know, if you were white, here's the thing, and America talk, when Mark McGwire passed Hank, come with me, so, me a deal, so of course he's in Spanish. When Mark McGwire passed Rock DeMaris, the Maris family went to salute him. When Barry Bonds did it, where were they at? Where were they at? When Barry Bonds did it, where were they at? I mean, it's often the things change that remain. And here's the case that you're great. Russo was talking about Hoopster. He can't find a qualified black person. I remember talking to Russo, too, about Art Rush Jr. And I asked him, what happened to Art Rush Jr.? And he said Art Rush couldn't, something with the format. Art Rush couldn't fit the format. Art Rush was the man who made sports talk radio. Art Rush had the number one radio show on ABC Radio. I didn't say the number one sports show. He had the number one radio show. I know when he went to Yankee Stadium, he's the only guy Joe DiMaggio would talk to. And he introduced Mr. DiMaggio to me, and that's how Mr. DiMaggio became a friend of mine. Art Russ was the only one that Joe respected. When I went to places, I mentioned Art Russ' name, people stopped and listened. I remember coming to Mickey Mantle and Ali getting up to come over and say hi to him. And they're telling me Art Russ couldn't find the format? I mean, you're trying to tell me I don't know how to get to my bedroom? I mean, there's not a qualified. That's the problem. I look today at the NBA, and I'm looking, you got the white lady, you got Doug Collins, and you got Bill Simmons. The only guy you got there is Jalen Rose. So my question is, okay, you got Collins and Rose, and I know why Collins don't wear a tie. I don't understand how Doug Collins can explain anything to me about basketball when he refused to pass the ball to Dr. J. I don't understand that, okay? But my thing is, I'm looking, and I say, where are the African-Americans that do the job that Bill Simmons do? I'm looking at baseball. I don't know if baseball has a daily black beat baseball writer. I don't know. And we were saluting to Harry Malkin, who was the first African-American to cover the White House, and they told this story when he went to cover Franklin Delano Roosevelt. One of the peers, I don't know how they call them, my peers, said, hey, look,
you stay outside, okay? And we'll, when we get through, we'll come out and give you some of our quotes. You know, nigga, stay outside, okay? He went outside. FDR said he was glad to meet him, glad to have him there. Nobody fought harder for African-Americans than the late Eleanor Roosevelt, great champion for African-Americans. And he was saluted, and you, I couldn't believe the media, the responses when he's been, they were talking about, you know, maybe the next time a black man sneezes, he'll get an award. They couldn't understand what you're saying, Josie Jones. They don't understand how we feel. They don't want to recognize our accomplishments. They still think so much, and Don King wants to get it out of the Constitution, the three-fifth compromise. You know, I mean,
right.
The, you know, with us, they you know, it's never the right time for African Americans in America. You know, you're too pushy. What, hey, do you really need that? I mean, there's still places in Staten Island we can't live. You know what I mean? America always wants to basically screw our men and screw our women. It's a sad commentary. I mean, has there been a – I've never heard a president – okay, Condoleezza Rice didn't want her at Rutgers because she's a war criminal. I've never heard anybody castrate, criticize, or talk about George Bush. He did 8 years before Obama, and I never hear that. And now you're telling me Condoleezza Rice is the bad person and she happens to be black? What a coincidence. She's black, Secretary of State. They didn't want her at Rutgers. And what did she do? The class leader she was, she said, you know what? I'm not going to come, and you can claim your $35,000. But America, but we're talking about Sterling, and it's Kane around us, the mad dog, okay? Rutgers, okay? This host who used the word nigger in a rhyme. It hasn't changed anything.
Forgive Richard Williams, the father of Serena and Venus Williams, who's coming out with a book tomorrow called Black and White, The Way I See It. And he starts off about not returning to Indian Wells, California.
That's right. The tournament.
His daughter, Skip, has skipped since 2001.
Hold on. I want you to say that again. You said... You didn't say Indian Wells, Mississippi, did you? Did you say that?
Well, whoever is
in
California.
I need to ask a question. You didn't say Indian Wells, Mississippi, did you?
No.
Did you say Indian Wells, Alabama, did you? Did you say Indian Wells, Arkansas?
No.
You said Indian Wells where?
California. The Gold Coast.
How do you like them apples? How do you like them apples? How do you like them apples? And all of the things change, they remain the same. Sad and touching, as Harold Weston. How you better call it, Harold?
He actually said, not to cut you off, Doc, that... He said from the beginning, and this is I'm quoting Richard Williams, the father of Venus and Serena. From the beginning, I decided that if people came to me later on and told me my daughters were great tennis players, I have failed. Success would be if they came up to me and said my daughters were great people. End of quote.
You know, that's amazing, and I remember one of the things that I liked about the Williams sisters, and they were criticized about, is that they weren't absorbed and obsessed with tennis. They had other avenues, as Julius always said. They didn't put all their eggs. Everybody knows I'm talking about Julius Irving in one basket.
Go ahead.
What she said, Wings? Hope so.
Remember, my mom said, God bless her. So she was saying on the show a long time ago. But she passed away. She said they were going to be number one and number two. They're going to be playing in more tournaments. And look what happened. They were
Let's see.
Yep.
I think
24 Grand Slam singles combined.
Combined. And last year was the first time
and
you had a But well, not only that, last year was the first time in Wimbledon that you had a female winner that wasn't a Williams. For 5 years in a row, a Williams won Wimbledon, the most prestigious tournament in the world. And say what you want, the Masters wasn't the Masters without Tiger Woods. It wasn't the Masters without Tiger Woods. And the Philadelphia Flyers got a hell of a hockey player and that black player down there. Dr. Stanley, sports at Blog Talk Radio, Federal Government Network, uplifted by my sports network. And I, you know, we're going to get to boxing, and I was showing Lady A something yesterday, and that it's kind of sad and touching that all these major fights, G.W. Mike didn't join us, none of us have been able to get together and see a fight together. And, you know, supposed to have family, but not as tight as the family should be. There's something we got to correct. That kind of pointed at somebody else. And let's talk about boxing here real quickly. Harold, Lady A, felt that last night Mayweather may have got the benefit of the doubt. Harold, double barrel, blast it out. Tell it to us. Lady A, you come behind him and the rest of the crew. Harold, your thoughts.
Do we have Harold?
Harold? Yeah, Harold's still here with us. Okay, Lady A, you were thinking that I talked to Pittsburgh. He felt that Mayweather did enough. I have never been of the opinion that you have to beat the champion to death to win the title. You thought Madonna, at worst, they got a draw from last night's fight? Lady A? Okay. I lost Lady A, too.
I hear some static in the line there. I don't know what that...
Yeah. I'm trying to figure what that can be. I've got you. Oops, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yep.
Jump shot?
Right here, Doc.
Jump shot. Okay. Lady A? Harold? Okay. Apologize for the problem. Okay, then let's get back to basketball. Okay, the lady comes back to us. Jump shot and hoops. You have your predictions for the MVP of the NBA?
Yes, I do. And you know, Kevin Durant will be the MVP. He'll get in this war soon. He'll be the last guy who gets a scoring title MVP since your good friend Ivan Iverson from 2000.
He'll be the first guy to just win?
Since Ivan Iverson to win the MVP in the scoring title.
Wow.
Right. Yeah.
Jump shot, you concur with him being the MVP, Durant? He's the MVP for you?
Yeah, he's the MVP this year, Kevin Durant. And the Oklahoma City newspaper that called him unreliable.
That was a joke.
They're going to find out how reliable he is when he carries them to the next round. He'll get them into at least the conference finals, maybe into the finals. So, you know, I don't think it was necessary for the paper to do that because he's done so much for the franchise and for the team and for the community. But as you know, Doc, black athletes have been called worse and unreliable.
You're Jeff Shad, you can never do that. I remember Oscar Robertson talked about after 10 years in Cincinnati, he was a guy who averaged a triple-double 5 years in a row, who had the triple-double, and the amazing stat about that was 30 points to 12 rebounds. 30 points, 12 rebounds from the guard spot. 12 rebounds and 11 assists. And Oscar said they were saying for 10 years he hadn't done nothing. Had done nothing. I remember Reggie Jackson. I remember the great line that the great Ricky Henderson told me, that Reggie Jackson told him, that the black athlete said, no, don't do too much because they're expected every year. David Ortiz told me the year that he had the highest batting average in his career, he had 37 home runs and the most RBIs, the Red Sox wanted to cut him.
Willie Randolph being fired on the road.
Yeah.
Not only that,
on the road
in
the midst of a
victory. There you go. That's
Willie
right.
Randolph
fired
on the road after a victory carries the second best winning percentage of all Met managers today. Can't get an interview. Got an interview in Milwaukee for the managerial position. Not only did he not get the job, They allowed him to be the bench coach for the person who did get the job, and then he hasn't been heard from since.
Nope. And you know, it's amazing, and it's not. Doc Stanley, Sports Net Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and God Radio Network. We are remembering, it's a tribute to Rooney as we opened up moments before we went on the air, called his dad. He had a heart attack 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday, went to his brain, hit us like a ton of bricks, and died 3 days later. His body was cremated. We can, his point, you know, Doc, a point well taken. Nobody said Lou Coco the way Harold did about him. We're dedicating this show to him. I'm sure we'll find a way we can do a show that he was on again. He was his beautiful people. He was our people. He was family. He was a friend. He was an integral part of Sports In Depth. The highest rated show we had here was one we had done from Brazil. And we had just taking time to remember a friend and realize something that two things you gotta remember. Live your life today as if it is stand before God tomorrow. And a great man, my mother always told me to never put off tomorrow what you can do today. But only a fool, as the Bible says, can guarantee tomorrow. Rooney! Love and miss you, baby. Don't know what static is. And this was, he would open up for us. Welcome to the Sports In Depth. I'm Mel Smith, Jr. Welcome to the Sports In Depth Nation on the Blake Radio Network, on the Trust and Guardian Network. It just, yeah, nobody can do it like him. And we will miss him. Hoopsa, one more time, baby. We're going to do the invitation. Hoopsa, bring us. Mel Smith Jr., bring us on, baby. Come on, Hoopsa. All
right. Get the music.
Okay.
Welcome to Sports In Depth Nation. The Sports In Depth Nation is here. I'm here. And we got the man that spurred a drink. Take away, Doc.
Yeah, right. Just stay right. The Sports In Depth Nation is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. And the man who serves the drink is here. The incomparable Dr. Stanley. Thanks so much, Hoopsa.
You're welcome.
And I remember so much your mom, who was part of the tennis. Ladies and gentlemen, Sports In Depth Nation Blog Talk Radio. We've got a good half hour left. We're hoping that Harold Weston and Lady A can get back to us. We don't know what happened.
Maybe if y'all want to hang up and call back, we've lost you here. Basketball-wise, I'm looking at some more things here. They had a quiz about, you know, Joe Girardi is the fifth Yankee manager to win 1,000 games. And I said, well, let me see if I can figure this out. And I was right. Joe McCarthy, Miller Huggins, Joe Torre,
yeah.
Casey Stengel, and Ralph Hoff were the guys before. A couple of things, too. I want to take my good friend, Herb Douglas, 93 years old, oldest living Olympian. He's got a screening, which was fortunate enough, will be there May 15th. It's titled The Renaissance Period of the Afro-American in Sports. It's a documentary that will premiere at the Walker Reed Theater at the Lincoln Center on May 15th. Douglas is executive producer of the 22-minute film, which focuses on how the exploits of 9 African-American track and field stars in the 1936 Olympic Games in Berlin not only shredded Adolf Hitler's Aryan supremacy theory, but had an ever greater impact at home. Douglas was a 14-year-old emerging football and track star in Pittsburgh when Hitler's Olympics unfolded, a kid who read about the feats of the great Jesse Owens, Archie Williams, and Pitch John Woodrow in Pittsburgh Courier, perhaps the most influential African-American newspaper in the country then. And all 9 African-American track athletes called in 13 medals, 4 of them by Jesse Owens, all of both. It really motivated me to get to Philadelphia.
It made us believe that we
African Americans, Negroes at the time, could do as well as anybody. We needed that. There were no African Americans in baseball, football, or basketball. We didn't have any idols. Then those games came. It changed everything. And inducing the film, Gary Douglas will introduce the film. I look back and just how God has blessed me beyond what I can comprehend. I've met Mr. Douglas. I've met Chrissy Owens. And that's going to be May 15th at the Walter Reed Theater. Wayne Guffey did a little piece on that. We want to close out. It connects to breakthrough in Berlin, such as President Truman's integration of the military after World War II, and Jackie Robinson breaking baseball color line with other major sports soon to follow. This was the lead to open the doors for a lot of African Americans, a lot talked about. Jesse Owens, four gold medals. And, you know, people understand, Adidas is a sneaker. It's
the name of the first two brothers who put the ID and Adidas. They broke off. They had a conflict. It was amazing how the conflict came about. There was a bombing going on, and in the process, one brother was already in the shelter, and the other brother's family was coming in the shelter. And they said, oh, here they come again. They inadvertently thought they were talking negative about the brother and his family coming in to join the other family when the people who said, here they come again, was talking about the bombing. They broke off, and Adidas became just the sole sneaker of Adidas, and Pony became the Puma, was produced by the other brother. Jesse Owens, the white shoes you see that he wears in those films of the 1930s Olympics, he was the first athlete, African-American athlete, period, to wear Adidas. ID personally went to Jesse, asked him would he wear those shoes that he prepared for him. They made the sneakers and the shoes right in their own kitchen. And Jesse Owens was the first person ever to wear Adidas. And he won four gold medals. And the brothers threw a scat, a Spurs scat, broke off. And so one brother kept the Adidas title. The ID is the first name of the first brother and the last three letters of the other brother. And they kept the second brother was the guy who put Puma, which Walt Frazier. And Walt Frazier was the first crossover athlete sneaker-wise. Frazier talked about they gave him all the Pumas he wants. And back in the 60s, $5,000 to promote Pumas. Imagine the kind of money he could get today. And with that, we'll get back to football. We've got something happening too on the 13th there, Wings. United Way with the Giants and the Jets. And Joe Neighbor's going to be there. I think that's something that we're both 1-10. And it's always good, those United Way dinner. But the big question comes to the season opens with the Jets against Oakland, and Justin Tuck comes back. Why would Tuck go to Oakland? I guess it's about the money, Wings?
I mean, at this point in stage of his career with the injuries and the age, this will probably be his last, and I wouldn't say last, but probably the largest contract he would get at this stage of his career, especially with the injuries and the declination in his performance. I mean, father time, especially in the NFL. It catches up pretty quickly depending on the position, especially linebackers, linemen, running backs. I mean, this was his opportunity for longevity, and it looks like the Oakland Raiders was the team to go to that would give him the biggest bang for his buck.
Now, I mean, well, I can understand it. It reminds me, you know, you're in boxing for titles and the money, and he's won two Super Bowls, and you're right. You know, you're looking for financial stability. Read the article today, though, so that was quite amazing. The sun is at its highest from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And as we know, California Chrome won the Kentucky Derby, but as we know, the article that said Brooklyn at one time was a hotbed of racing throughout the country. Amazing. Simply amazing.
And his owner was the oldest. Oldest person to ever win.
We're talking about Dean Tony. We talked about
that much money. I mean, he took all his life savings and whatever he had saved up, and I think a pension, and they offered, there was a high offer, $6 million to sell a horse, and he wouldn't take it.
Really?
Yeah.
$6 million. Well, I tell you that, that price has simply changed. Looking at the fights last night, Broner won his fight. Khan beat Collazo, and Mayweather against Maidana. Let's talk about a rematch between Maidana and Collazo this week. Lara and Alvarez will have a press conference. They will do a four-city tour, L.A., New York, and Puerto Rico. They're coming to New York after New York. They go to Puerto Rico promoting their July 12th fight at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Also, we know here we're going to have in June, which is next month already, man, it looks like we were in January now, we're talking next month in June, Miguel Cotto against Sergio Martinez for Martinez's title. Mayweather should be a couple months from now setting up his
September fight.
We'll see if it's going to be a rematch with Maidana or if it's going to be Amir Khan. Khan won and Gilberto Junbug Ortiz, as we did a Friday, the boxing way with Lady A, said that this fight would yesterday would depict if Khan would use his head, and he did. Didn't get into a fight. He boxed, and he beat Collazo. And I would think he would be the next fight because of unless Mayweather gives Maidana another shot, because Khan does have the name, and I think a lot of people now after the fight yesterday, but they have to see, and I have to talk to Gilberto to get his scoop on that, probably thinks that Mayweather is beatable. The World Cup will start, next month. And one of the big problems is Lady A, if you can come through, Lady A, if you can hear us, why don't you hang up and call back in and maybe solve the problem. There's problems with Brazil. Neymar has gotten injured. He's not going to finish the rest of the season with Barcelona, and they're hoping he'll be ready for the World Cup, which will start June 14th, I believe. And I think Brazil opens up in Fortaleza. I was hoping to get Deicho Cotamacho Jr. with us to talk some more about it, but I will have him next Sunday, as I wanted to just have the family here as we sit here and remember. And reflect on Meltzer. I'm going to try to get Big C to call in and say a word or two about Mel Smith Jr. And, I think Harold had to go back into the studio. This whole thing with Sterling, though, is just perpetrating a fraud. Nothing has changed. I felt a lot of it was the owners. I mean, it's when I said wings, it's when I said jump shot, it's when I said hoopsa. What else could the commissioner have done? It's like commending a father for feeding his family. That's what he was supposed to do. Jump shot?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he did what he was supposed to do, and he had the players, who took a strong stand, and also realized the power that they have. Along with, soliciting Mayor Kevin Johnson as their spokesperson, which was a smart move. And, enough is enough already, And imagine just harnessing that kind of impact and that kind of power, not just with the NBA, but just in other areas of society, we can really make a difference, so...
You talk about that, and I remember the pitfalls in the government harassing and following Jim Brown. When Jim Brown put together that Black Economic Union, when he was, and when you talk about Jim Brown, you're talking to one of the only two other athletes you could utter, three in the same breath with Ali as far as the paramount impact for him, Jackie Robinson, and Pelé. And I remember the Economic Union was all about freedom and economy for African Americans. Ali talked about that. He said, hey, we're just 14% of the country. Give us our area. Give us our site. Let us be self-sufficient. Let us deal with black lawyers, and black dentists. And you're talking about this here situation. And it just Like I'm saying, they're acting like the commissioner did something extraordinary. And my question is, the owners knew full well about this guy. And the other thing that I'm asking is, well, why didn't we get a black commissioner? I mean, it's amazing how the time is not right for African Americans to ascend. I mean, I really thought, in all true reality, that they wouldn't put Obama in. I thought we would have a female president before we have a black president. But I'm thinking I think Obama is the last black president we're going to see, or may ever see. It's just hoops to jump shot and seedlings. This whole thing, I mean, nothing's been done. I mean, what do they do to this guy? If this guy sells his team, okay, if he sells his team, he's going to make a profit. He's going to make money.
A profit. He's going to make a ginormous. I mean, it's well beyond profit. I mean, he purchased it for, I think it was like $15 or $17 million.
$12 million. They were San Diego at first. They were San Diego Clippers. He purchased that team for $12.5 million. Now they were $970 billion. $1.6 billion now. They were the Clippers.
Really?
The first from 1981. Yeah, they were the San Diego Clippers. They were San Diego Clippers.
1981.
And, you know, my good friend was on the Clippers, World B. So.
World B was on that team.
He got traded to the San Diego Clippers. And John Sterling was the owner. He bought that team. Yeah, he bought that team. Yep.
And look at the Milwaukee Bucks we recently sold. And, you know, they haven't really had a contending team in a while. But the sale was about half a billion dollars. I'd say maybe a little less.
Are you
than
serious?
This is the Milwaukee Bucks. So you can imagine what the Clippers being in the L.A. market are going to go for. So, you have to be a billionaire or have a group to be able to acquire an NBA franchise.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was looking at the Afro Times, which I once wrote for. The great man Borgen always said, Doc was written for nearly every black paper in the city, and they talked about that. I think the NBA players had the commission not done something. The whole league was looking to boycott. I talked to my good buddy Bill Calhoun, and the international community, Vice President John Calhoun Tuesday, put pressure on the 2016 host Rio, blasting his preparation as the worst he's ever seen. And Mr. Calhoun told me that it seems like Brazil is not preparing. It's the first time they've ever put together a committee to go down there and help them prepare for the 2016 Olympics. For the Olympics. The World Cup is already set. Yeah, yeah. A lot of the Brazilians now, I heard my good friend, also Howard Rosie, a number one listening, but not really happy with the World Cup being there, feeling that monies that are being allocated to put this together could go to other places. I'm sort of being Brazil. I may have to look at reevaluate the original reevaluation. They feel that monies could be put toward education, housing, health, and so forth and so on. President Dilma, first female president ever of Brazil, tells everybody, hold on, economically what will be brought into the country will be advantageous to the economy. So that is to be seen. Like I said, we will see Yankees and the Mets today. Yankees lost, losing the series 2 out of 3 games. And, you know, and we're talking about racism, okay? And it's amazing how white people don't see it. And you look at Robinson Cano. And here's the thing about the Yankees. Usually, guys play, 10 years, 9 years for the Yankees? You would figure you'd have a video tribute. The guys want a gold glove. The guy is Silver Slugger, second baseman. No video tribute for him.
No.
It's amazing that in sports, and that's supposed to be black, white, green, and yellow, but they more get on you when you're black. When you see things from a business standpoint of view, they're looking for loyalty. But organizations never give you loyalty, but you're supposed to give them loyalty. I mean, he was willing to take less money and stay in New York. And his situation is so much like you said about Justin Tucker, C-Wings. He's won a world championship. He's played for the Yankees. So, hey, you got to go where the money is. I mean, you got to go where the money is. And you got to do it now. As we so, you know, death is an everyday situation, but it doesn't affect you until it hits you. And we saw that tonight when we learned about our loss of Rooney. I mean, you kind of strike while the iron's hot, and you know, the things that are going to be best done for you and for others have to be done by you. It's a dot quote. Okay, the things that are best done for you and done for others have to be done by you. And just to make, I mean, people forget the problem that Derek Jeter had with the Yankees. Derek Jeter, the face of the Yankees. The problems he had with the Yankees. I mean, that should have been a slam dunk. They were talking about, they didn't know, Derek Jeter. Derek Sanderson Jeter. Where's number two? Second to none as a player, as a person. Everything Joe DiMaggio was supposed to be and everything Mickey Mantle wasn't. A real live hero. And did things neither one of them did. 3,000 base hits, first and only Yankee ever do that. Maybe the only Yankee to ever do it. Maybe the only Yankee player to ever do that. If you look at the Yankees, their players, Joe DiMaggio played 13 years. Babe Ruth got traded after coming from Boston. Garrett got sick. Derek Jeter may very well be the only Yankee ever to get 3,000 base hits and play 2 decades. Great player,
yeah,
great person.
I agree. I don't think you will probably not see another Yankee player moving forward who's even going to play that long for this franchise.
Not only that jump shot, and with the free agency. I mean, you look at Willie Mays. I remember the owner, Gussie Bush, offered back in the days when $1 million was like, what, $15 million for Willie Mays. To the Giants, I gave $1 million to Willie Mays. Giants say, you must mean Willie Mays Aikens, not our Willie Mays. It wasn't great, the great Willie Mays. Yeah, but offered him $1 million.
LeBron James.
Go ahead.
When he left, don't forget LeBron James when he left
Cleveland.
They were saying, oh, he's not welcome back here. They're burning his jersey. The owner took it personal. Listen, it's a business. It's a business, and he's going to go where he's going to get the bigger bang for his buck. May not be monetarily in Miami, but he has the rings. They put together the best team. He took a pay cut. But why, you know, he would have never won in Cleveland. He would have never won it. He would have just been a great player playing on a mediocre team.
Think about LeBron James. He'd be a free agent. Him, Bosh, and Wade would be free agents.
And people are talking about Carmelo.
They took out a full-page ad, didn't they, when LeBron left Cleveland?
Yeah.
They were burning his jersey. It's things like that. That's why you got to take a, you know, even though that's why you got to take a stand sometimes against, you know, people who speak the way Donald Sterling spoke. You know, granted, it was obtained not in a legal manner, but you can't have that. This man exercised his right, his free agent right, to leave his home state to go from Cleveland to Miami, and the response is you want to burn his jersey, and put it on YouTube.
Well, I mean, I think you know, jump shot. The thing is. Let's go to what Muhammad Ali said.
The average NBA salary, it's funny, we talk a lot about Oscar Robertson. When David Stern first took over the NBA in 1984, the average salary was $384,000. When he left or when he retired, it was $5.5 million.
Wow. 1984. You know, it's amazing. I remember it shows you the astronomical amount. When Julius Erving signed with the 76ers, it was for $6 million.
Imagine.
And they show you how many. It's just six. I remember reading a book where Julius said, and ladies and gentlemen, when I speak about Julius, I'm always talking about Julius Erving. I say Eddie. I'm talking about Eddie Murray. Dave is Dave Winfield. And Julius said he had, and this was before he signed the contract, he said he had been reached a financial plateau. And it's like that anything he ever dreamed of, he could have. He had obtained with the exception
of his brother Marvin, who passed away. Just something. Now, jump shot, and I'm going to come to you. The other two here today, both here, over here. Tribute to Mel Smith Jr. Jump shot. If they stay healthy, it's a three-peat for the Heat.
I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to do it this year. It's so tough to win three in a row in today's NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you who's going to beat them. I don't think they're going to do it.
Booker got a good chance of beating them. And they're scared.
No,
they're scared.
I wish. I don't know if the...
They're
the Miami Nets thinking
about Brooklyn right now.
I have to agree with you, Jump Shot. I don't see the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, you know, they took a spanking playing up. That wasn't a cakewalk like...
They're a good team, man.
They're a younger team, but they don't have the experience.
Gentlemen, the thing about the playoffs is playing a team... I play you November 3rd, I beat you. I play you December 15th, and then I play you again in February. It's different playing you. And Don Nelson talked about the adjustment he made in winning a championship. One game he said what he simply did was put a player in a position that he had to shoot from left. And this shows you how great Michael Jordan was. Because the playoffs you're playing day in and day out. And how great Isaiah Thomas was, and Jabbar, and Oscar in the playoffs, because you're playing the best day in and day out, and you're making it. And I thought that Garnett and Pierce would be so much better fit with the Clippers. But I've never seen. I have to say this too, Jump Shot and Hoopster. I've never seen two African American guys deteriorate health wise like I've seen these two guys, Jump Shot, Hoopster.
I mean, it's age, man. It's age catching up to him. Father Time.
I've never seen that kind of deterioration. These guys have some games that have 7 points. 7 points.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a limited factor. They
gave the Nets everything they can handle. And the reality is they are Paul Pierce block shot. I mean, if Paul Pierce doesn't block that shot, Toronto may be going to the next round. It was really that close. Great game, by the way.
I'm predicting the Washington Wizards in the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I think Wall
is just too fast. The guy... I mean, I was watching. I forgot. I think it was
LeBron's going to check him. LeBron's going to guard him. You know that.
But I see those two. If Dwayne Wade is healthy with this rest, if he's healthy enough to make it through this with the Nets, and they give a good series, the Heat is going on to the finals to meet, I think, the
Spurs.
San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs. I mean, they turned it on the last game today. I mean, they almost went down 3-1, and they just turned it on today.
When you talk about Tony Parker, who I've got a chance, he's one of the elite guards in this game. And Tim Duncan, if you talk about the 60 greatest players, first 6 years, he definitely won the 60. The key to Miami – And LeBron is a great player. Wade is a Hall of Famer. But the key to Miami is Bosch. He's the key. And somebody talked about today that the Nets had problems from the forward position against Miami, and Bosch is a forward. But he's the guy, and Jump Shot and Hoopster, you guys are experts, come on in here and hit me. He's the guy that allows Dwayne and LeBron to do the things they can do and other things, because he will pick up the slack. What they're not doing, he can do. He'll guard the guy, he'll rebound. He's the guy that allows them to just be free and do what they desire to do. And he's a guy that doesn't get a lot of pub, but I think everybody in the league knows. I think everybody in the team knows. And for a lot of esoteric ways, he is the most valuable player on that team, that Jump Shot and Hoopster. And Sea Wings?
Yeah, he provides another dimension for their team,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially when he's on. And, you know, he's a defensive presence. You know, he gets rebounds. He can hit the three. This is a 6'11 guy that can hit the three, you know, and he's not afraid to take the, you know, the clutch shot come crunch time. So he does add another dimension there. You know, I just think that it is just so difficult to win three in a row. They've gone to the finals three times in a row. You know, it's difficult in today's NBA to win three in a row, even though, I mean, we've seen the Bulls do it on two separate occasions, and we saw the Lakers do it as well. But it's just tough to do in today's NBA. I don't know.
Celtics, don't forget the Celtics.
And how close they were to not winning last year in those finals, you know.
That's true.
Tell me about it. Was that game six?
It was game six. Yeah, game six last year.
Yeah, that was live. We were live there here on Sports. Gentlemen, give me a minute or two. Let's do a quick close with Marvin Gaye and then do Mike on lights off for a little while. We want to once again dedicate this show to Mel Cosell, Rooney, Little Coco Smith Jr. I'm going to get a card out, gentlemen. Catch everybody to order, sign it, and send them to his dad. We remember him. We missed him so mentally. We will miss him now forever and a day. Marvin Gaye. Movers is into Mike on Lights Off a little while. Ladies and gentlemen, we ask your prayers and sympathy for the Smith family and the Sports and their family. Mel Cosell Smith Jr. has passed on. Marvin Gaye has this to say, jump shot and wings, please. Don't go away. Doc Sally, Sports at Blog Talk Radio, a tribute to Mel Cosell Smith Jr.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing,
flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow, no.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
Save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow. Oh,
what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame? We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live
for life.
Live for life.
But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for
First round in the NBA playoffs, and I think the second round is going to be just as engaging, you know. So it should be a lot of fun. Hats off to Floyd Mayweather Jr. for you know, his fight yesterday, you know, retaining his championship, and you know, and condolences to the to the Smith family on their loss.
Rooney, it's a void there that can't be filled, can't be. You're irreplaceable. You're thin. You were someone that you could just sit and talk to. I mean, me and him would talk for sometimes 2 hours on the phone and about different things, and especially wrestling and about this specific wrestler, or, you know, how his training was when he went through the training school, how it was when I went through the training. It's just very surreal. And this is one of the toughest pills I ever had to swallow. My condolences out to his family. And can't say I know how you feel, because I don't know what it feels to lose a child. And I wish the family the God-given strength that they're going to need to get past this untimely passing. So we give our support out to his family. But that the second round of the playoffs, I can see it going 6 games with the Brooklyn Nets. And I take my hat off to Jason Kidd being the only rookie coach to win, rookie coach in the history of the National Basketball Association to win a Game 7. Win a Game 7, we take our hats off to Jason Kidd there, rookie coach. Only rookie coach to win a Game 7 in the playoffs. Indiana, I don't have too much faith in them at this point. I didn't in the first round. They got a little spurt there, and they won that series. But I don't see them getting past Washington. I see the Heat and the Wizards battling it out for first place. The West, oof, that's been the most interesting series so far. And just to backtrack, on Saturday was the first time also in the history of National Basketball Association that you had three Game 7s on the same day. That just goes to show that the intensity of the West. It's the old West of the late 80s, mid-90s on how they used to play the long court game, and you're seeing it out there. So take my hat off to Popovich managing, I think, the oldest roster. It's either between them or starting four, rather. Let me put that, starting core, rather. I think Miami.
No, it's funny. I was at my man Panama the barber shop, and the kid said, "Hey, that's a big three: Ginobili, Parker, and
Duncan."
And I said, "Whoa!" I said, "Hell!" I said, "Hey!" I said, "The big three: Parrish, McHale, and Bird. But the greatest big three: Chamberlain, Baylor, and West."
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, you're talking about the greatest big three, man, you know. So we're talking about big three. But so, gentlemen, I think Miami is going to get past the Nets. I think Miami is going to get back to the finals. Dwayne Wade's healthy. I think they can win again. The key, if they, I think their biggest problem may be OKC, as you know. Durant, the big 33 points, and had a triple-double by his sidekick. San Antonio is not a year younger, they're a year older. But that doesn't matter. I just think the bottom line is that people don't give enough credit. They're conceding the MVP award to Durant, so much like they did that time when they gave it to Malone instead of Michael. We talk about the aspect of racism. Let's take a quick look, too, at my good buddy Derek Jeter, five-time World Series champion, 3 years in a row, 1998, 1999, 2000. The team that won 114 games. He won in 96 in 2009. American League Rookie of the Year in 96. The 2000 All-Star Game MVP, 2000 World Series MVP, 13-time All-Star, member of the 3,000 Hit Club, the all-time major league leader in postseason hits, runs scored, and total bases and games played, New York's Yankee all-time leader in stolen bases and games played. He supplanted Ricky Henderson, the all-time stolen base leader, which makes those fights a little more a little more valuable for me up there. Great player, great person. I just remember so many vivid memories, and one was him, his first year as a rookie, up in Harlem giving out turkeys. And me and John Starks and the great Larry Hardesty, the greatest African sportscaster in the history of this business, leaving it. And Derek was stuff. I picture today, I give that to Derek. And great player, great person. Number two, second to another, everything Joe DiMaggio was supposed to be, and everything Mickey Mantle was in a real life American hero. Just a great player, great person. Looking at these finals, they've been entertaining. I think the Spurs going the distance against the Mavericks can be a detriment. At the same time, I think it could be advantageous, as I think it's going to be a help for the Clippers. I think everybody is psychologically rooting for the Clippers because of the situation with Sterling. I don't understand how Mark Jackson can do the job that he has done and one lose his job in Golden State and not be considered for the job as New York. But if you look at it, Walt Frazier once told me something that was super funny. He said, if Willis Reed had never gotten hurt, they would have never needed an offense from him. He said, I would never emerge as an offensive player. And so New York sometimes camouflages its racist concepts. I mean, I believe if history is correct,
New York was thinking seceding from the union, as they didn't want to let go of this slave trade that was happening down in the Wall Street area. So there are parts of the city that African Americans, we still can't live. Mike Bellamy, first ever African American quarterback in the history of Staten Island football, and his coach was the first African American coach, and he's still, to this day, the only one. We've talked so redundantly about the situation with Sterling, and the reality of that situation is, as often things change, they remain the same. What was done by the commissioner could only have been done. He should not be applauded for closing the door that was open that he had to walk past. Articles have said maybe Stern should have been a little more stern way, way back. Jabbar made some tremendous points, and one of them, too, is, and it just seems that, and I'm so hoopster, jump shot, and wings, I'm not a big Facebook fan because I don't like the idea of the invasion of privacy. I want to thank you, too, Mr. L411, for the new picture we're going to use. You know, gentlemen, it's a little pain in the heart when you think about Mel. C-Wings, you know him so much better than Jump Shot. And I think it's important that we always say thank you and I love you. And you guys are what makes this show. And really would always say, wow, you know, when the man that stirs the drink, the incomparable, and you have to appreciate people on a day-to-day basis. I remember a great line from the Bible. I believe it was in Psalms. The dead of this world are gone forever. And there's Dr. King's line, it's not the longevity of one's life, but the quality. And the Bible tells us very simply, what profits a man to gain the world and lose his soul? At this time, I cannot convey in words the friendship and what you brought to this show, Cincinnati Sea Wings. And you, Jonesy, you're the taskmaster mindset that you have and what you brought to this game and the publicity that you put out. And I think this is something that we have to understand, that the 32 points you got last night is great, but you got to come out and do it again. You've always got to be on your P's and Q's. That great line, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. So I just let you guys that I've never underestimated you, and I just really can't call Mr. Smith. And I said, how's Rooney? And he said, Doc, Rooney passed away 2 weeks ago. And, you know, it's just, and Cincinnati Sea Wings had told me that he felt that. He felt that. He's kind of psychic. He's a quick playing around, give a 6 lottery number, so we'll really be straight here, Wings, at the dive. And he had said that, It was, you know, he was such a staunch supporter of me. He didn't like the way we had left Blake Radio. And the thing that he enjoyed this show, we all got together 9:30 on a Sunday night like we do now. And the reason why I do this show, because it seems our viewers like the 11 o'clock show. We get the last say, SID, late night where you get it last, you get it right, and you get the informed. And he was just one of the guys right there, and Hoosier was right, you know what I mean? This is the Sports Net Nation. I'm Mel Smith Jr. You next week, I'm going to close the show tonight with Jim Trudis. I always love my mama. Mother's Day is coming up, and we, those of us, you know, Jim said, you lost your mom's wings, same thing, and I'm lucky to have my mother, 85 years old. And sometimes, you know, there are men who play the role of the mother. Hugh Powell, a senior police officer I worked with, was always a mother and a dad, and my brother's been that way. And we're going to close the show with Intruders. I always love my mama. Gentlemen, any last words and thoughts as we close out? Have your final say. The Jets, Giants, Jerry Reese feels that Eli Manning will show that last year was a year that he wasn't healthy. I said all along, two wings, if you remember, that I felt that there was something physically wrong with him. If you will remember, I said that.
Oh, all the time that we spoke, you felt that there was some sort of kink in the chain there that, you know, with it was just that he wasn't playing right. It seemed to be that there was no sync there. But I just want to take the time to thank you, Doc. Thank you for being the head of household of the Sports and Deaf family, putting together this family, this friendship, your support, your knowledge, your faith. I mean, you are the straw that turns the drink. And I must say that Rooney was the one who added the flavor, the ingredient to that drink that we all drink from the panel of the Sports and Deaf. Rooney, we're going to miss you. God bless you. We'll see you again when we make that transition. And we love you. We love you. And love you, Doc. Love the panel members. And just thank you for being able to sit at the table in which we can discuss everything that everyone out there, our listeners, thank you to our listeners out there for your support. And we just thank you. We just thank you. Thank you, Doc. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you.
There's no more that can be added to that outside of thank you and trust in God. Wings, you are the one who handles that. Wings, Mel held the greetings, and you held the salutations and the messages that hadn't been sent out, as you handled so well when we lost our friend Marcus. And with that, on a night that we remember a friend and a hero, on a night that we thank God that we're here another day, and a night that Wings, ditto, man, what you've, I've said, what you brought to Sports in Depth from a football perspective and friendship is beyond what can be comprehend. Live your life today and live to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, the most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is rent you pay for your space here on earth. The best things to be done for yourself and others has to be done by you. Doc Stanley, Cincinnati Sea Wings, 411, a tribute to Rooney. And we close as Mother's Day comes and remember our mothers. Doc Stanley, Sports and Deaf, Block Talk Radio, a tribute to Rooney, trust in God. That when they used to bring us on, take us off. Ain't nobody gonna take your place, Rooney. Ain't nobody gonna bring us on like you. Ain't nobody gonna replace you, Rooney. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Block Talk Radio, on the Trust and God Radio Network. The tribute to Rooney, a friend, a brother, an icon. Doc Stanley, this is NFL 411, from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all, trust in God. At the end of the show, we got to go with Tribute to Rooney. We'll close it out with something a little Miles Davis. We'll be better as time goes on. But you have to understand, tonight, we're kind of blue.
Yeah. recording way back, guys. Give me 2 minutes. Me too. I like you did. Yeah, man. It was something, man. Love the show, man. Love the show. Love us, man. Point well taken. Always gave me a lot of kudos, man. Never saw the whole thing. Always thought about how great my father was. So listen, motherfucker, man. Yeah, you and him are just interesting parts of this show. I can see you. I don't need justice. No, I don't need nothing. I need radiation. Your ability, your expertise, and your PhD, is looking like everything else. You know, and you do this on your tank, you're still on the tank, you're fucking tank. What the fuck is with you? You'll be fine. Alright, man. I'm going to go to the mall. Thanks, baby. Love you, man.
my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, oh no, not me, I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. It was my